Bushu nindi na we magani dug. Beshe gu benesi a kwe indigo, mang in du tem. Ga uza squad jime cog in dun jaba, ga me squa wako cog in da. Elaine Fleming nindishin a kaz. Me gwech minno be modesi win, me gwech nin min windam. I'm happy for this good life, and I'm glad to, that it's spring. It's springtime. And it's time for people to be out now. People are out there and they're gathering the maple sap. And so I wanted to share just a little bit about the maple sap and about its history and some family stories. And so during the assimilation era, which was 1870 to 1930, they had the Allotment Act, and the Allotment Act, it was of 1887, and it was actually put into effect in 1889 with the Nelson Act. And so during that time, it was decided that on Leech Lake Reservation, Cass Lake Reservation, Winnebago-Osage Reservations, that the Ojibwe people here would get 40 acres of sugar land and 40 acres of farmland. And so here on the Cass Lake Reservation, where my family was from, on my maternal grandmother's side, Nancy Droulard Ishinakaso, she, on her side, they got 40 acres of sugar bush land up on Big Lake. And then they got their 40 acres of farmland down on Pike Bay in Cass Lake area when you're traveling east on the Highway 2 and you cross over the bridge, and that's the area where we had our farming land. And I'd just like you to really someday, if you're traveling across that bridge on Highway 2, and to look at that area, and you know that the railroad goes through there, the pipeline goes through there, and also the big electrical lines go through there. And those are certain things that happen when you look at your land base and you think of about indigenous people and their allotments and how their allotments are decimated, how you can't use a lot of that land because of what government and businesses do to that land. The other problem with the allotment land is that it's fractionated. So you got that original 40 acres of sugar bush land, or you got your 40 acres of farming land. And that original landowner, when they die, then that land is fractionated. It is split up to their descendants. And when those people die, then that land is fractionated even more so. And so today, it is 2015. The Nelson Act happened in 1889. And this land is so fractionated that you really can't do anything with this land. So they've passed other acts since then where we can buy back that land so that it can become usable. Or 50% of the peoples who are heirs to those land, that land can agree to let somebody use that land, put it to good use. And so in the north part of this nation, Leech Lake Nation, where my mother got her her allotment land, and through her mother Nancy Droulard and her mother Isabel Taylor and her mother Marie Johnson, going back into the 1830s, we look at that land up there, and we have pictures of women, Isabel Taylor, my great-grandmother and Marie Johnson, my great-great-grandmother. And in those pictures, they're sitting next to these, my Marie Johnson, my great-great-grandmother, is sitting next to these, this fire and to these huge iron pots in which there's maple sap boiling. And standing next to her is Isabel Taylor, my great-grandmother. And a long time ago, Mae Win Sha, it was the women, they say, that were the ones who gathered the maple syrup, and they made it into maple sugar. And so my mother talks about this time because she would go out there with her grandmother and her great-grandmother, and she would be responsible for gathering the water, carrying the water from the lake up to the camp. And they would build a wigwam, and that's where they would live out there. The women would live out there, and they would live out there with the grandchildren, the granddaughters. And I always wondered about those pictures where the men were. But you know, where the men were, they were working. They were out fishing. They were out hunting. Historically, they were out fighting the Boanug, the Sioux people. As time passed, they were out at their logging camps. During this time of the picture that I speak of with Marie Johnson and Isabel Taylor, my great-grandmother and my great-great-grandmother, my grandfather, James Droulard, who was from the Grand Portage Reservation, he would go out and he would be at the logging camps. And so, in fact, he died at a logging camp. He was murdered at a logging camp, and his body was sent back to us for burial. So the women were the ones a long time ago who gathered the maple sap and made it into maple sugar, not into syrup. Mom said during those times that her grandma and great-grandma knew exactly how much maple sugar they would need to last throughout the year. And that's how much they would gather. And so we have those stories about this time, and our people are out there now, and they're out there gathering that sap. And it was about sustenance, subsistence. It was about the food that we ate. It was about the food that we could barter or we could sell, and it's still about that. But it's more than that, because we also have our legends about the maple sap and how it was given to us, and how it used to be so bountiful, and now it's so difficult to get because we weren't respectful to the trees. We weren't respectful with our relationship with the trees, and so Creator took that easiness out of getting that maple sap, and now it is very difficult and time-consuming. But it is something that we still do, and it's a way of our life here on Leech Lake Nation. Also, one of the things we did was the blueberry picking. And I just wanted to talk about that briefly, too, because you know the first trees of this area were the jack pine, and Sheila Northbird talks about that relationship between the jack pine and the blueberry, that loving relationship. And there's a place up towards Big Lake that I would always take my children to. And we would go there in the springtime because that was the time when we would pick the arbutus, the first flowers of the area, and they would jack pines grow. We would go to the same area in the fall time, and that's when we would go to pick the wintergreen, because that was my children's favorite tea at that time. It was we would make wintergreen tea with the wild rose hips, and we would add the maple syrup to that so that we would give it that sweetness, and that was our favorite tea for my children. But anyway, just when we talk about the land and we talk about our land base and those jack pines, those old trees, These trees were not a tree that the lumber people were interested in maintaining, because of they just weren't profitable, so they would cut these trees. So about 3 years ago, I went out to this area where the jack pine grew, because that's where the arbutus grew, and that's where the blueberries grow, and that's where the winter green grew. They all were related. And I went out there to gather the arbutus for Nimama Iban, my mother who's gone on now, Dorothy Howard Ishinokaso, Geishinokaso. And that was her favorite flower. So I went out to those old jack pines looking for the arbutus. And I couldn't find them because that whole area had been clear cut. All the jack pines were gone. And now the arbutus were gone. And the blueberries in the wintergreen. And so, you know, when you think about governance and how a nation has a right to govern itself, that we need to think about that land base. We need to think about history, our relationship with the earth, with this life, and we need to take care of those things and to teach our children for the future. Ji mi gwech bisandawiek mi iu.